Well, coincidentally enough, last night I was talking with a friend of mine who's a special effects supervisor, and he's working on a show, and it's being run by this young woman who's first time as a showrunner, and he's sort of the wise old man to make sure that everything kind of runs smoothly. He said she's actually a really great person, very nice, big fun to work with, talented, but a big liberal. And he said, however, found out recently that she lives in Pacoima. There were riots there. That didn't make him happy. So she and her husband decided to buy some guns. They're going to go down to the shooting range and they're going to get some practice. And then she's going to realize that conservatives are not these rootin' tootin' lunatics running around. And when she puts a bullet down range, she's three quarters of the way to being a conservative. But all of this to simply say this, this woman, a liberal television producer here in Los Angeles, went to a city council not too long ago to talk about some issues. And she was shouted down by other liberals because she was white. And she was pretty surprised about this. And my response was, this is the world you voted for, and this is the one you got. Now, this morning, I see that this is nothing compared to what residents in a neighborhood, upscale neighborhood of Texas, discovered. There's a letter that went out to Democratic supporters of Black Lives Matter, and it's mostly targeted at people in Highland Park, Texas, which is a pretty ritzy neighborhood. I'm not going to put you through all of this, but I do think that the first paragraph or two is indicative. This is what liberals in Texas got in the mail in the neighborhood of Highland Park. Dear blank, we're writing to you because we understand you are white and live within the Highland Park Independent School District and thus benefit from enormous privileges taken at the expense of communities of color. You live in the whitest and wealthiest neighborhood in Dallas. Whether you know it or not, you earned or inherited your money through oppressing people of color. However, it's also our understanding that you're a Democrat and supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement, which makes you one of our white allies and puts you in a position to help correct these cruel injustices. We need you to step up and back your words with action and truly sacrifice to make our segregated city more just. Underlined in bold follows, we are asking you to pledge that your children will not apply or attend any Ivy League schools or U.S. News and World Report top 50 schools. And they go on to say that these schools have afforded white families privilege for generations. Having your children attend these schools takes away spaces from students of color who really need the job opportunities, education, and influence that these schools provide. And there's more, but there's no reason to go through that. Wow, this is a jigsaw puzzle full of things to unpack, Steve. First of all, maybe you could help me with this. What the article basically says, you've all the money you have and all the wealth you've inherited, you've taken from people of color. That's verbatim what they say. How did they pull that off? Did they go down with trucks or guns or what exactly did that mean?
Yeah, you were telling that story and reminded me, I dated a fairly sensible young lady many, many years ago who had a very progressive little brother. This is in my California days, who honestly, earnestly believed that the United States was rich because we took everything from places like Cuba. Mm-hmm. This is what they think. If somebody has something, it can't have been created. It had to have been taken because there's this much pie. There's always been this much pie, and there will never be more than this much pie. Therefore, if a lot of white people are rich and a lot of black people are poor, it's because we took some of their pie. Wealth can neither be created nor destroyed, which is so not true. We're going to witness so much wealth destroyed if this inflation tick becomes a real big ride here, like I'm afraid it will. So many things I want to say aside from just answering the actual question part. The first is The woman you were talking about that you really wanted to say, this is the world you created. This is your fault. I should so share with you that sentiment. Sometimes you just want to grab people by the lapel and say, you wanted this. You got this. What's wrong with you? But there's something I have to keep in my brain every single day. It's a bit of wisdom that I think is actually mine. I don't think I read this anywhere. I think this is a Steve original. Never interrupt somebody when they're busy talking themselves over to your position.
Precisely and, correct.
And I try and live by this, even though I I write about politics for a living. But the best aha moments come to people when they realize it themselves, not when they're told it. Teaching can only get you so far. It's the processing of what's being learned internally that really makes a person change. The other thing I'd like to say is to the other woman going to the range for the first time, please keep going to the range. Ask for instruction, and you will find the nicest people in the world at the range. Just don't go to a Leo range, a law enforcement officer range, because you got operators there, and they just want to hang out among their own kind, and those are generally not the most fun range. But a good civilian range, great, great friendly people. They will teach you so much, and it's not, ew, what are you doing here? You're a liberal. No, it's welcome to the club. Let's go put some holes in some paper. Let's have a blast.
That first round goes downrange, and you are 80% of the way to the Ronald Reagan Library.
That's right.
Scott, here's the point, really, I think, for me with this. There are, and like you, I understand that the motivation for a lot of these people is not pure evil. I'm not talking about the people that wrote the letter. I'm talking about the people they wrote the letter to. They think there's genuine injustice out there. They want to be part of the solution. They donate to Black Lives Matter. They think that they're trying to solve a real issue, and their motives are generally pretty pure. But what they begin to realize is, as this other woman who I mentioned at the beginning begin to realize is that you will never be one of the good ones. Right. You will never be when you're dealing with this kind of racial divisiveness. That is the entire purpose of this. You will never be one of the good white people. You will always be somebody who is suspect. You're contributing to the problem. You've given money to Black Lives Matter. That's why you're getting this letter. But it doesn't matter how much money you give. It doesn't matter whether you keep your kids away from schools or not. You are immutably tainted. And we just thought we'd remind you of it before we hit you up for some more money.
You know, I'm trying to picture an analog to this, and I just keep having this image of a Girl Scout knocking on somebody's door. And when the father of the house opens the door, the little girl says, "You're a terrible person who's ruined the earth for women and little girls. Would you like to buy some overpriced cookies?" I mean,
just, no.
I look at it as a pure persuasion strategy. And the odd thing is, you know, there are some things that are arguably limited pie things. You know, like, there's like an area, like let's say my backyard is only a certain size, and it's bound by a sidewalk on two sides, so it can't get any bigger in my neighbor's house in the other direction. And really, if somebody wants my backyard, they're going to have to take it from me because there's no more backyard to be had. But schools aren't like that. You can make more schools. You can make more good schools. And if you were going to try to reach out to white liberals in that neighborhood, the pitch that says, "You're a terrible person, please help by ruining the life of your child so that other strangers' children have a better life," that doesn't make any sense. And frankly, as anybody who listens to Bill Whittle's series, America's Forgotten Heroes, as the podcast, will learn that that's not the approach that Booker T. Washington took when there was legitimate discrimination and no availability for education for young Black students. He started schools. He started hundreds of schools. He started maybe thousands of schools. And in many cases, he started those schools with money given to him by all kinds of people, including poor Black people, as well as middle class and wealthy white people. They all contributed to it. And his pitch was not, "You're a terrible person. Why don't you give me money so I can build a school for the Negroes so that you don't feel so horrible about yourself?" But he was presenting hope and opportunity. And the idea of an expanding pie, we want to earn our way in the world. We want to do better. So if you're going to make this pitch to the people in Highland Park, say, "You know what, Highland Parkians, you have created some of the best schools that money can buy. But right now, not everybody has equal access to those schools. So what we'd like is for you to join in an effort to expand the reach of those excellent schools so that more kids can be part of that experience. especially kids whose parents, you know, through no fault of the kids, don't have the means to get them into that school. Will you help with that effort and make it so that the great blessings that you've received become a blessing that flows out from you? Can you do that for us today? And I think people would open up their wallets and volunteer and do anything you ask them to do. But just starting a sales pitch, and my full-time job is sales. If somebody walked into my store and I said, "Hi, awful person, want to buy some furniture?" I don't think that goes over very well.
Can I throw something in? Actually, two things, because Scott just made me picture him welcoming a customer into his store by saying, "You need a bigger sofa for that fat ass. Come over here, I'll show you something." But the other more serious point is Scott's brilliant sales pitch, which I love, by the way, man, is predicated on the notion that BLM, despite its name, is actually in the business of making black lives better. It isn't.
Now we're talking.
It's in the business of imposing socialism and tearing down this country. And if they can start with some wealthy progressives by tearing them down, all the better as far as they're concerned.
And a lot of the activists who are part of those groups went to some of the best schools that money can buy, some by dint of their own family's hard work and others with help from government agencies.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, Scott, your advice, sales advice is not only sound, but inspirational. But unfortunately, you're going at it with rationality and a soul. And that's why you don't perceive the essence of what's going on here, because the essence of what is going on here is right here. Having your children attend these schools takes away spaces from students of color who really need the job opportunities, education, and influence that these schools provide. In other words, what this letter is saying is that the education is not what they get. They're not getting an education. It's not that they, because if they want an education, they would do exactly what you suggested and try to get money to build new schools. They believe that going to Harvard or Yale or whatever the case may be, it's not something that provides you with an education. It's something that gets you inside the club. And therefore, since there are so many white people already inside the club, you need to keep your kids at home so we can put our kids, and then they can get inside the club, because nobody works for what they get. Nobody works for what they achieve. It's all just a question of who you know, and this is how they believe the world functions. Here's the part I find most wonderful and magnificent about all of this. And I'm waiting for my letter, actually, from these people thanking me, because it occurs to me that if they're asking liberals to keep their kids out of Ivy League schools in order to provide opportunities for students of color, then these people have no better friends than the Texas conservatives and the conservatives in the country, because we're not sending our kids to those damn Ivy League schools anyway. We know what pits of poison they are. We wouldn't send good, decent, honest children to one of those. Wretched hives of scum and villainy if our lives depended on it. Black Lives Matter and this Dallas people should be writing conservatives thanking them that we are not doing what the rest of the liberals are and sending our kids to these so-called institutions of higher learning where they know how to go in a room and sit with puppies and have coloring books and not have to deal with things that they don't particularly want to face. So it's just one giant goat rodeo of failure and yet another reason why I am optimistic for the long-term future, although the short-term future is going to get a little bumpy, I think, before we hit in some clear air finally. For Steve Green and Scott Ott, I'm Bill Whittle. This show is made possible by the members at BillWhittle.com. We'd love to have you on board if you want to join us, and we'll see you next week right here on Right Angle.